You're listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast, an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. The Asking for a Friend podcast exists as a weekly resource for the edification and knowledge of God's people. My name is Tyler Jones. I'm your host. Thanks for listening in, whoever you may be and wherever you may be. May the Lord bless this podcast to you as a means of grace for your spiritual growth. On the podcast today, again, we have Jason Rowland, Senior Pastor and Elder of Believers Baptist Church, and another one of the Elders of Believers Baptist Church, Philip Castleton. Jason, we are going on a couple of trips in the next year or so to Israel, and you're going to be kind of the host. You've been over there before, so you'll be able to lead us through some of the things that you know and have seen, and kind of talk us through the historical aspects of all of that. I'm not sure that June is made yet completely. Kaylee and I were looking at possibly going on that one, and I think we still need like one more couple on that, but we're really excited about that.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned it, Tyler, because it is a privilege and it is a great learning opportunity to go actually to Israel, and I've had the privilege to go twice. And in fact, Philip is signed up for June 2020. You're signed up for June 2020, you and your wife, Kaylee. And there are two spots that are still available for the June trip, and it doesn't have to be a couple, but it certainly would be a great opportunity for someone to go to the land that Jesus actually walked and go to the places where he actually was. And you'll come back appreciating your New Testament better as you read, particularly through the Gospels. Mm-hmm. We do have a full group. I think there's 25 that are going in February of 2020. Mm-hmm. So that is a full group. Looking forward to that trip. Mm-hmm. And looking forward to the June trip as well.
I'm not looking forward to the flight, really. That's the one thing that I'm worried about.
It is a beatdown.
Yeah, I can figure for sure, especially as my knees start hurting more and more every year. So, but speaking of the New Testament, that kind of all ties into what we're talking about today. The question is, are the Jews still God's people?
A great question, and I think probably the intent of the question relates to all the geopolitical issues that we see over the Middle East right now in our time. That seems to be a popular discussion, particularly in regard to end-time events and end-time preaching. As we think about the book of Revelation and as we think about how the world is coming to an end and what is Israel's role. So I think that probably is the intent of the question. And there's no doubt that ethnic Israel, the nation of Israel as an identified people, are God's chosen people. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, God says of the nation of Israel, "It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples." And so that indicates to us that God had an intended purpose, and we can actually go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12 and see that in the choosing of Abraham and the calling out of Abraham to begin the nation. And the purpose was that this nation would be different than all the other nations. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, we read, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." And so their responsibility was to witness the majesty and the power and the authority and the uniqueness of God. And they were to be set apart different from all the other nations of the earth. They failed in doing that, mm-hmm. and ultimately they were carried off into captivity, as we see that in the Old Testament, 586 Judea, and in 792, I can't remember the exact date, so I'm wrong on that, but the nation of Israel was carried off by the Assyrians. But be that as it is, ethnic Israel did not cease to be a nation. In fact, one of the unique things about the nation of Israel, it's the only nation that has been dispossessed from its land, totally disregarding its boundaries or any of its history, and yet come back as a nation, reestablished as a nation with boundaries and with a continuation of history prior to that. No other nation in the world has had that happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're unique.
They are unique. They are God's chosen people. But the question is, how does ethnic Israel fit into the end time events as we understand, interpret, particularly the book of Revelation? And you could go to Ezekiel, and you go to Daniel, and you can also fit in some of the pieces there. But I think there's a bigger picture, Philip.
There is. I think the New Testament has some things to say about this. Specifically, you know, as Paul's writing Romans, he gets to Romans 8, and he goes through this, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he continues, he just spells out this big, beautiful text about how God's salvation purposes are eternal, and that nothing can thwart them and nothing can override them. God's love is set on a people, and those people will be saved. And then he anticipates a question, because the Jews aren't without understanding here. They recognize that most people aren't turning to this Jesus, this Messiah. And so they in essence ask the question, well, if all this is true, if God's plan for salvation can't be thwarted, if it can't be overdone, then why aren't there more Jews coming to Christ? And Paul's answer is, I love my brother the Jew. I wish that my brother would come, my brother by flesh. He goes on to say, listen, they're the ones who God has used. He gave them the word of God. He goes on and on. Jesus himself was even by flesh, by birth, a Jew. But then he gets to verse 6, and this is in Romans chapter 9, and he says this, but it's not as though the word of God has failed. So what does he mean, right? Was it God's intent to save ethnic Israel? For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. So now he's making a distinction between ethnic Israel and spiritual Israel. And not all who are children of Abraham, because there is offspring, talking about the physical relation, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh, it's not ethnic Israel to whom the salvation promises were made, who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. So he's made a distinction here between those of the faith of Abraham and those of the ethnic lineage of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 says something very similar to this effect. It says, Galatians chapter 3, I think it's verses 7 through 9. And know then that it is those of the faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall the nations be blessed. The argument that Paul's putting forth here is, if you think that it's that the law was necessary, and he goes on and on, Abraham was saved by the gospel being preached to him before the law came. Abraham was before the law. Therefore, Abraham was before circumcision, and Abraham became a Christian before circumcision. Therefore, it's not the ethnicity that was important. It was the spiritual condition of Abraham that was important. That's the argument that Paul's laying forth. So we get to this, and we go, so what then does it mean to be a Jew? Forget Jew. What does it mean to be Israel? Are Israel, the people of Israel, God's chosen people? The answer is yes. Does he mean ethnic Israel? Maybe. To some extent. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 3. And this will make maybe more sense, and then we'll look real quick at 1 Peter and try to make sense of this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Paul sets forth, let me just read verses 1 through 6. For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I've written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it's now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So Paul's saying, I've got something to tell you. that wasn't known, at least not in its fullness. It wasn't known to previous generations. But God has revealed it, and I want to make it clear. Verse 6, this mystery is the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promises in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, there are some who would go, okay, so we see that the Gentiles are included in salvation, but it's only because ethnic Israel rejected, right? It was, in essence, the Gentiles were brought in as an afterthought. Well, if you skip down to verse 11, we see that that's not the case. Verse 11 says, this was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it was always God's plan to have a people. Who are God's Israel? Well, I would say that the New Testament would make clear that God's Israel are those who are of the spiritual lineage of Abraham, not necessarily those of the physical descendant of Abraham. So ethnic Israel is not automatically in, right? Now, does this mean that there are no ethnic Jews that are going to be in this new Israel, this body that is being described here for us as the church? No, if we were to go back to Romans 11, he finishes his argument with just that. Romans 11, 1 says, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite. Well, if God had rejected the Jews, Paul's saying, I wouldn't be saved, right? I'm a Christian and I'm a Jew. As a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, specifically. Verse 2, God has not rejected his people, and here's the key, whom he foreknew, the ones that he put his love on in the beginning, he hasn't rejected them. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? And this is the point he's making here. He's arguing back into the Old Testament saying, it's always been this way. You may not have understood it, but it's always been this way. Look at Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel. Lord, they've killed your prophets. They've demolished your altars, and I alone am left. They seek my life. But what is God's reply? What did God say? I have kept for myself, out of ethnic Israel, there's a group of people, 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Verse 5, so too at this present time there is a remnant chosen by grace. So the argument that Paul set forth is, it's not enough to be an ethnic Jew. You can be an ethnic Jew and be outside of God's covenant promises. It doesn't mean, though, that because you're an ethnic Jew, that you are automatically outside of God's covenant promises. God has chosen a people. Revelation 5 is going to say that he has chosen people out of every nation, tribe, tongue, and language, right? So it is God's purpose to be glorified through his grace in extension to not only some people that are ethnic Jews, but the word Gentile, ethnos, is where we get ethnicities. It means nations. He's going to be glorified by saving people not only that are Jew by ethnicity, but every ethnicity is going to be represented in that. So in that sense, are the Jews still God's people? If we're talking about spiritually, the answer is yes. If we're talking about primarily ethnically, not necessarily.
Well, and I think the idea that all people who come by grace alone, through faith alone, to Christ alone, whether they be Jew or Gentile,
right,
is what you're talking about, which is the church will be certainly there as we unfold and interpret the book of Revelation.
Yes.
And we see the marriage supper of the Lamb, for example, which is the bride of Christ, which is the church, regardless of culture or ethnicity, nationality, or any of those things. But then there is thought out there in interpretation of the scripture that it's a theological thought or an eschatological thought, a study of the end times is eschatology. An eschatological thought that's called dispensationalism. And dispensationalism teaches that ultimately in the end, ethnic Israel as a nation will have a opportunity to recognize Jesus. They'll look upon him, see that he was the Messiah that they crucified, and they will turn to him. And then, as I said earlier, in Ezekiel, in Daniel, you got Old Testament prophecies of the nation being surrounded by all the other pagan nations, nations from the north, nations from the south, nations from the east and the west, and so that Israel itself is surrounded and about to be destroyed, and Christ comes back, and when he comes back, that second coming, then there's a recognition by ethnic Israel that he's the Messiah, and many will be saved. Now, it's still by grace through faith in Christ, so it's not a different salvation, but it is that ethnic Israel will be saved. And so,
ethnic Israel within the bounds of God's remnant choosing, right?
I don't know. I don't know if that's how dispensational would.
Hyper dispensationalist for sure. Right. I think they think of it in a bigger, broader sense. But I think if we go back to verse chapter 11, when it says all Israel would be saved, I think that that is written after the specific statement that at this present time there's a remnant chosen by grace. Right. When we speak of Israel as ethnic Israel that is going to be saved, we mean those foreknown by God, chosen by God, elect of God for the purposes of God's election.
Right, those that are alive at that time that are chosen by election.
Yes.
Because we know that countless thousands of Jews have died, ethnic Jews, without Christ.
Right,
apart
and gone
from
to
Christ.
Hell. Yes.
And so, yes, to answer it that way, you're exactly right. But the question is, does God still have a chosen people? Does he have a special plan for ethnic Israel? And I don't know how to answer that completely. At one time, I was confident that I knew how to answer that question, and I probably still lean to a dispensational kind of understanding that there will be ethnic Israel, the remnant that is elect, that is alive at that time, that see Christ come will be saved. Again, not apart from the way that we are saved even now. But saying that, I think what the issue in church land of America is that we have taken that to a great extreme. For example, you'll hear in our political discussions in America, well, we can't ever turn our back on Israel. We have to keep them as an ally, because if we do turn our back on them, then God will judge us. As if that's the only reason God would judge us. As if there are no other reasons. For example, the countless millions that we have aborted in the name of convenience, as if God won't judge us for that. Mm-hmm. And so there are other reasons other than not keeping Israel as an ally politically that God will judge the United States of America. And certainly, that's not to say that we shouldn't have Israel as an ally. Let's support them. Let's pray for the peace of Israel, Jerusalem. Let's pray for the peace of the nation. Let's do what we can to move into that land with the gospel, because the Jews that are there now, is if either one of you get to go on the trip in June in 2020, you'll see it's a very secular culture. It is just like our culture, just modern secularism, in which there's no regard to God and certainly no understanding of Christ or the gospel. There are believers there, and there are Christian missionaries there, because those Jews need to hear the gospel.
Sure.
And so the idea, though, that in America, if we somehow turn our back on the nation, I think that might be going too far, the nation of Israel. That might be going too far in our understanding and our application of what ethnic Israel is.
Yeah, I think what they do, I think they read the text that says, those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. And so immediately they go, well, that means that I must have positive thoughts and positive words and whatever about the nation of Israel, ethnic Israel, all the time. We should have them as an ally. We should have all these things. Well, we should have positive thoughts and words the same way we should have those about anybody else. We're told to do kind to our neighbors. We're told to do kind to our enemies. So in that sense, we should do those things. I don't know that Scripture, I don't think that that text forces us into an understanding that we should be kind to Israel. For example, if Israel were to start doing the horrific things that Iran does, right? If they were to start doing those things, would we be wrong then to withhold aid? Well, there are people who would say, yes, we would still give them aid because they're Israel, no matter. And I would say, how do you justify that, right? We're not going to be party to those things. But I think that they would do that, I think, under a misunderstanding of ethnic Israel, and spiritual Israel, and confusing those two things. And I do believe that there is some kind of future hope, even though I'm not particularly dispensational. I do believe that there, Romans 11, you can't get past Romans 11 without thinking that there's some kind of hope for at least a remnant of ethnic Israel, right? I mean, God is going to do that. But one of the other things that I think that they confuse, and if you go back to Romans 11, is this text right here. And you can correct me if I'm misunderstanding this, but look what it says in verse 25. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. He's calling it a mystery. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. I read that the same way I read the beginning of chapter 9, where this argument starts to flow, where he makes the distinction between ethnic Israel and spiritual Israel. I think the same thing's happening here. I'm going to add words so that I think I can make what I understand it to be clear. A partial hardening has come upon ethnic Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and in this way all spiritual Israel will be saved. You've got the fullness of the Gentiles coming in, and that accomplishes the totality of Israel being saved. Well, how does that make sense if that word Israel is speaking of ethnic Israel? Hardening ethnic Israel is somehow going to be the fulfillment of the totality of the salvation of God's plans toward Israel. That's hard to understand, except for it says here, the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and this accomplishes, if you will, all Israel being saved. So I think the same thing that Paul is doing in the beginning of Romans 9, at the beginning of this argument, he's doing here, where he's making a distinction between a group of people that are simply ethnic and a group of people who are of the spiritual lineage of Abraham. Is that helpful?
I would not argue with your interpretation of it.
Okay.
I think that there's validity in what you're saying. These are very dispensational verses if you interpret it dispensationally.
Yeah.
Certainly. And so it lends to the idea that Israel in the ethnic sense will ultimately come to faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, to answer your question, I guess we're leaving it open-ended because there is a truth that they are God's chosen people as a nation. But there is a spiritual Israel that the New Testament seems to give more emphasis to.
Yeah, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, because like I said, I don't come at this from a particularly dispensational viewpoint, even though I have, that has affected me in some way. That thinking has affected me to some extent. I've been influenced by people who think that way. But I see it and I go, I'm not sure, what to do with some of these distinctions that are made. How am I supposed to understand that a hardening on Israel affects all Israel being saved? That those are things that seem contradictory unless you make the same distinctions that Paul makes. But that being said, there is a sense in which they're God's people. There's a sense in which the New Testament says. In fact, in 1 Peter, he uses distinctly language that was distinctly used for Israel, and he applies it to the Gentiles. He calls them a holy nation, a nation of priests. He calls them elect. He calls them, you know, specifically a holy nation. Those are things that were specifically used of ethnic Israel, which now he's applying to God's people, a mixed bag, if you will, Jews and Gentiles alike, the church, we would call it. He's applying that language there. So it is it's a hard thing, depending on, I guess, your eschatological disposition. You're going to read some of these texts distinctly different. Mm-hmm. And we come from, Jason and I have, wouldn't say that we disagree, but we come from this at slightly different angles. So we see these things, and maybe we give you a fuller view of the possibilities by doing that and not coming from just one angle.
Yeah, I think it's a good call to read your Bible, you know? I mean, you can listen to podcasts all day and glean some great information, but there's nothing that replaces actually reading and knowing your Bible, right?
And that's a good way to end this, because that would be the priority over reading your newspaper and your Time magazine about all the geopolitical issues.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast. If what you've heard today has been helpful to you, please subscribe. On behalf of the elders of BBC, I invite you to a worship service at Believers Baptist Church this coming Sunday. The Bible study hour begins at 9:15, and the worship service begins at 10:30. Grace and peace.